localwebradio.fm. Your trusted voices on the Semiahmoo Peninsula.
Are you dealing with a health issue you would love to resolve? Would you like to restore yourself to be healthier and more invigorated? There is help. Welcome to the Natural Therapy Show with Dr. Tim Brown, architect and creator of Ocean Park Natural Therapies. Now, here's your host.
Eva Marienfeld here, and yes, I am your host, and I am here with Dr. Tim Brown, chiropractor and MD, owner of Ocean Park Natural Therapies, and creator of Solving Your Health Puzzle with Integrated Medicine. Now, before Dr. Brown joins us, just a reminder that if you in the audience have questions or require assistance, you can reach his office at 604-538-3017 or visit the staff online at www.oceanparkhealth.com. Today, Dr. Brown will be discussing human psychology and what he has learned from 36 years of healthcare practice. Dr. Brown, welcome to the call.
Welcome as well. Good morning to you all.
Good morning. Dr. Brown, so you have been in the business of healing for over three decades. I'm sure that after 36 years of practice, you have certainly learned a lot about human psychology. Would you share some of your ideas, please?
Well, first, I think there's a couple of statements that are important. And one of them is, it's not so much what happens to us in life, but how we respond or react, which I found is based on our beliefs and our perceptions. And this ultimately determines its effect on us. Let me give you an example. Viktor Frankl, in writing about the Holocaust and surviving the concentration camps, tells stories about how some people lived through the experience. And when they got out after the war, they reverted back to their previous life, almost as if nothing had happened. Mm. And some were bitter and filled with hatred for what happened. And, you know, that went on to influence and in some ways destroy their happiness in their life. Mm-hmm. And a few people transformed their lives. There's an example he talks about, a Polish woman who was in the prison camps and things. And after the war ended, she made a conscious decision to go back into Germany and nurse, work as a nurse with the German people in order to heal her wounds and also to work out things with them. Mm. So the second aspect is regards the term healing. And there's a quote that healing doesn't mean damage never existed. It means the damage no longer controls our lives. In other words, the experience doesn't continue to damage us or determine who we are. So I found that there are two important aspects to this personal psychology that we carry, and it shapes us and is the basis of all the psychology techniques that are basically used, and more importantly, the ones that are effective in making changes. So these two things are, number one, the person's self-image, and number two, the person's internal view of the outside world. And that's what I call their virtual world, is that that image of the world that resides inside them and shapes that virtual world that they live in.
Yes, we'll touch on that a little. And what a brave woman. And she created her own reality, that woman that went back into Germany. Good for her. Would you, Dr. Brown, delve into that oft-used phrase, a person's self-image? What exactly does that mean to you?
Well, what I found is that the self-image that a person has is not just one image, but it's a collage of different parts of self, or a series of layered selves, something like, you know, Russian dolls stacked one inside the other. And these seem to correspond to developmental stages in our human life. So the first, the inner one, the first memories are formed from a primitive or primordial kind of self. When we're in the womb, we're tied to Mother Earth, nature, and there isn't a language in that realm. It's just a feeling, set of feelings and connections to Earth, to primitive life. And significantly, I think, is we're tied to our mother's system. She's kind of like the weather patterns or the atmosphere and the climate that the little one is bathed in and living in. So the next layer or stage is of the infant. And in infancy, one needs to be nurtured and cared for and protected by another being. And the longer that we're dependent is the longer it takes us to develop and become independent, then the more important is that stage of infancy for shaping us. Mm-hmm. And then the third layer aspect is the inner child. And the ego for the child develops around the age of two. You know, that time we call the terrible twos.
Terrible twos,
mm-hmm. And it can be, in an instant, the child can be magical and curious, full of awe and wonder. And then the next minute, they can be full of needs, demands, attention. You know, everything becomes right now and me and what I need. And it's through this learning about the world through the interaction of the self and others that the child is developing, but they're still very dependent and they have quite distorted perceptions between that inner and the outer world. Now, once the child's self-image phase is moved through, or basically around the time of puberty, then we move into the layer of the teen. The teen's world is one of testing the limits of the perceived world. And I tell my patients it's kind of like Aladdin and Jasmine in the movies, where adventure and possibility into the bigger world is there without all the constraints. So the teen self is focused on their peer group and its values, what others think about them. So they're self-conscious about their body, their looks, etc. And they want the goodies and the privileges of adulthood. They want, you know, the flying carpet to be able to take off and fly somewhere and do things, but they don't want the responsibilities that go along with these things. So they, Aladdin and Jasmine don't really want to run the kingdom. They don't want to be the king or the queen, but they want to go out and test the limits of the world, experiment with boundaries. And teenagers usually are experimenting with things that we regard as the taboos, like drugs and sex, risky or dangerous situations. And that's often where they head to, and it often gets them into trouble, and they have to be extricated or helped out by the adults when they get in trouble. So the last, not the last layer, but the next one is the layer of the adult, which is earmarked by responsibilities, duties, looking after others. In the movies, it's the king or the queen who take care of everyone in the kingdom. And this part of the self, if one over-identifies with it, you become overwhelmed and burned out and kind of ground down by life. So essentially their responsibility is there, but there's not enough fun. And especially this is seen from the viewpoint of the teen as something that they don't want. So the last layer that I see in a person's development is the older, wiser elder who thinks of the long-term good for others and the legacy that's being passed on from one part of life or one generation to another. And when one moves past this elder stage, there is the realm of the transpersonal or the spiritual self, which is universal and identifies with all life and all living beings. Mm-hmm. So each of these parts, the selves, have values and beliefs that are based on the viewpoint and the personal experience of that particular part of the self. And then these values are often passed on or received from those around us and those that we bond or identify with. So this composes the layers, as it were, of the self-image. And what I do is I tend to look and try to see what part of the self or self-image is actually trying to run the person's behavior and feelings and reactions to what's going on in life.
Very interesting. It sort of touches on Freud's id and ego and superego. How does this concept of ego fit into your paradigm, the one you're describing?
Well, I've tried to simplify the whole concept of ego because I found that Freud's things were way too complicated. So essentially, the ego is our identity or who we think or believe we are. So as I said, this initially develops around the age of two and it's reinforced and patterns itself through the teen years and onwards through adult transitions. And a healthy ego helps us with creating personal boundaries around self and other. And the ego can get locked in, though, so we say stuck in a particular identity, which doesn't allow us to adjust or shift or grow. And in other words, it controls us. And when it controls us and we become a particular part, all it has to do then is protect or defend itself to the exclusion of all else. And that's essentially what the ego does. So although it protects us, when it gets locked in and it doesn't allow us to transform or shift, then by definition, we need to be healed at some point to see the connection between all of these parts of the self and our greater connection to the whole of life, and not just our, as we talked earlier in the development of the brain, the reptilian part of our brain. Mm-hmm. Is mostly concerned with survival and food, clothing, and shelter.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Crucial, helpful information. I am Eva Marienchild with Dr. Tim Brown. After the break, we will talk more about some of the things discussed when you're going in for treatment and how people are helped psychologically. We'll be right back.
More natural therapies with Dr. Tim Brown after these short messages.
Hillcrest Bakery and Deli presents Old Time Radio on the specialty channel on localwebradio.fm. Hillcrest Bakery and Deli, serving the Semiahmoo Peninsula for over 40 years with custom cakes, deli platters, and a wide selection of fresh baked breads. Hillcrest Bakery and Deli on the corner of Thrift and Johnston, where everything is lovingly made from scratch. Call Hillcrest Bakery and Deli today at 604-531-1750. That's 604-531-1750. And visit them online at hillcrestbakeryanddeli.ca.
If you're struggling with a dental or oral health issue, be sure to catch the Healthy Smiles Oral Health Show with Dr. Norm Eckert on the Health Channel on localwebradio.fm.
Shopping for the lowest mortgage rate? Looking to refinance?
Catch the Mortgage Newscast with Jared Dreyer
on the Business Channel
on localwebradio.fm.
It's time now for more Natural Therapies with Dr. Tim Brown.
All right, we're back with Dr. Tim Brown. So, we all have virtual reality. Can you go into what you mean by a person's virtual world?
Yes. The other aspect besides your self-image is the virtual world, that the perception you have of the world from each viewpoint within your self-images. So it's the world you perceive when you close your eyes and you think about things. It's kind of like a storybook in which the characters live. And for some people, it's kind of a fairy tale or fantasy world. For some, it's kind of a harlequin romance, a western, maybe a science fiction, or an adventure. Think of it this way. If, for instance, you view your business as the title of a book, you know, that business is full of shark-infested waters. When you're in that, you're going to react differently. And in terms of what happens and how you react to your world and business, then if you envision it as a global village filled with friendly and interesting people and opportunities full of positive possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
So in a recent movie, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, which is, you know, based on a short story,
mm-hmm.
You know, he lives in kind of a fantasy world, which helps him break and have a different kind of an existence than his mundane real kind of world. And mm-hmm. this is one of the features that many of the people that survived the experience in the concentration camps had to develop an alternate reality or a virtual world in which they could continue to function and maintain a certain level of sanity. Because if they just focused on the outer world, it would destroy them or drive them crazy. So we know this also from tales like the stories from Robert Louis Stevenson were basically or Hans Christian Andersen, or these things were mm-hmm. A child that was bedridden and couldn't be out running and playing with the other children. So they created a fantasy world and were able to turn this into stories that other people were able to enjoy and relate to. So I've correlated what I'm talking about with how the brain works, because each time we recreate a memory, we actually are recreating it like a director in a movie, and we can add to, embellish, or we can delete or diminish and alter the memory. So we either reinforce or extinguish it in our memory bank.
Mm-hmm.
So when we become our story and our ego basically sets around that, we often have to break the hold it has on us, in that we may have to rewrite or change aspects of what's happened in order to adapt, to move on, or not get stuck, or what I say, call fossilized by our script or our story. So let me give you an example. Leonard Nimoy, who everybody knows from
Dr. Spock, right?
Dr. Spock. He had to break out of that because everybody typecast him as he was that character. That was all of him. But actually, when he got away from that, and he said, "I had to break away," and as an artist, he created a lot of artwork, and he had a lot of other fascinating things in his personal life that many people don't know about. And in another movie, The Life of Pi, which had come out a few years ago, there's a statement at the end. And it basically says, which would you rather have, the real story or the story as I've created it? In other words, which would you rather have as a memory? Which is more interesting? And often we have to go back and rewrite some of these things that are imprinted or stored in our memory in order to basically create necessary changes in the way that we react to things on an ongoing basis. Mm-hmm. So when a patient comes in for consultation, I have to look at what they're presenting to me for treatment, but I also have to look at how that relates to their inner virtual world, their self-image, and what damage or trauma may still be present or underlying the condition. Because if I present a plan of treatment for them that conflicts with either their self-image or that virtual world, it becomes a useless prescription recipe. Because they can't follow it or it won't make sense to them. And if I manage to get them through the dysfunction zones that we've talked about, deficiencies, toxicity, and structural damage or issues, if I haven't addressed their, quote, inner software and programs of self-image and virtual world and the belief systems that come from those areas, it's highly likely that they'll just regress and fall back into same patterns, much like an addict or an alcoholic who reverts back into the pattern of the addiction. And the way, the addictions, by the way, are not always just drugs. They can be, of course, we know about sexual addictions, but they can be food addictions, work addictions, partying or other types of escape mechanism, and any pattern that prevents us from dealing with conflicts that arise between our inner and our outer world. Mm-hmm. So to help a person psychologically, it's not good enough to say they're stressed or that they're self-sabotaging and then send them off with a prescription for some medication or do nothing at all. Mm-hmm. To really help them. That really bothers me when I have patients come in and they say, "Oh, the doctor just said it's stress," or, "Oh, I know I'm self-sabotaging, but I really, don't think I can change it."
Oh, yeah. Oof. How disempowering.
Yeah. So I have to get them to acknowledge and integrate and understand these different aspects of their self and form it into a less conflicted whole person perspective. So these inner parts are not in conflict with each other, and they're not in conflict with the outer world. And this is often where the real healing occurs or sticks long term, and sometimes hits some of the simplest things that we do that have the most profound effect for the patient's long term. I had my receptionist was out in another office doing some training for a new job she's going to be moving to. And somebody came in and they got in conversation, and she said, oh, you work for Dr. Brown. And he helped me years ago. I went in, I'm all better with X and Y. And, he also did some work on some emotional things and stuff that I was having trouble with. And man, that was amazing. And I've been great since.
Oh, well.
This was probably 10 years ago.
I was going to ask how long.
And this happens all the time. And it's, I sometimes don't know that I've helped somebody because I don't hear from them again. They go off and they're doing fine. But I have to be very careful now that I've been around so long. I've treated great-grandparents, grandparents, the parents, the children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, some in some families. But when I go out in public, I never know at times whether someone is a former patient or who might know me. So as my eyesight's getting a little deteriorated and stuff, and I don't, sometimes see all the details with someone, I have to be, a little careful that I don't offend anybody by not recognizing them.
In some countries, they actually pay the doctor to not have to come in and see them. That's the case with you, but they're not paying you.
Yeah, but the goodwill and the benefit, the difference that I make in the society to help a few people to better their lives, that becomes a reward that translates out and why people send other people back in.
Absolutely. And I think you once mentioned something about the Indians describe something as calling the spirit back.
Yes. Yeah. When we reclaim these lost parts of our whole self, or we call our parts back, the Indians use the term calling our spirit back. And there are many different ways that this can occur. And I found it through indigenous cultures in South America, in the Hawaiian traditions, in the traditional Chinese medicine traditions. I found them in neuro-linguistic programming, which is kind of a Western thing that had developed. And I was involved in the initial stages and the development of that training. Mm-hmm. And now there's a thing that we like to use now called brain neurofeedback, which mm-hmm. is a powerful way at looking how our brain is functioning and activated by measuring the brain waves in real time. And then we can set up games and tasks that provide feedback and rewards when they make desired changes. So it kind of works like when you're learning to ride a bicycle. And if the bicycle, let's say you're constantly going one way or falling to one side, after some time and proper feedback, you learn to balance and be able to ride and turn both ways to stop and start. And when you can do these functions with the brain, when it's hooked up, you're integrating all the different parts of your brain in the right timing and sequencing so that it actually functions better. And you're bringing more parts so that it doesn't kind of get stuck like a squirrel mm-hmm. running in a cage and doing the same thing over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of other things. We found that homeopathic constitutional treatments, which use diluted but high-potency energized remedies, when given repetitively and properly diagnosed, they help to break these cycles or patterns of dysfunction in our thinking, processing, and reacting in our nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
And I found also that trance work or guided imagery with music, mm-hmm. and I've found art therapy can be very useful at getting at these areas and helping to express them. Mm-hmm. And certain types of hypnosis, like Ericksonian hypnosis, where people are allowed to create new patterns and integrate different patterns and change some of the set beliefs that are stored in these areas.
Mm-hmm.
And certain types of counseling I found more useful than others, not just cognitive talking out therapy, but some of the ones that are helpful in identifying these different aspects of the self, and then very quickly finding out how to integrate them or deal with them so that they're not running our system.
Mm-hmm. So it's almost like in computer terms, you're upgrading the programs, right? An operating system?
Absolutely. And that's one of the terms that I use. We have to make sure that the operating system is functional, and then the programs are not conflicting with one another. So the parts of the self have to integrate into the whole operating system for the good of and survival, not just of one part of our ego, but for the, let's say, the integrated whole self.
Thank you for that abundance of information, Dr. Brown. Do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share?
Well, the last thing I'd say is the main principle that is needed here is one person believing in another. By helping to bring forth the parts for examination of our values and beliefs held by each part in a non-judgmental or accepting manner, and then allowing the parts to change or transform into a newer system of values and beliefs, integrating towards a more functional current world. That's what the essence of what this is. And so sometimes it just takes one person believing in the ability of another one to find themselves, to come through and bring the good out. It's almost like a gardener who tends to the garden and believes that with proper nurturing and care that things will bloom.
Sounds like you're talking about the L word, love, and that's very powerful. Thank you, Dr. Brown. Thank you for this information. And we've had a look into patient psychology and in, of course, recommended treatments. We look forward to speaking with you all again next week. And Dr. Brown will be discussing autonomic response testing. That's ART for short, of individualized integrated medicine. And if you, the audience, can think of someone who might benefit from what we've talked about today, please go ahead and share this podcast with them. I'm sure they'll thank you for it. You can reach Dr. Timothy Brown by telephone again at 604-538-3017 or visit him and his staff online at www.oceanparkhealth.com. Dr. Brown, thanks so much, and we look forward to speaking again.
Okay, take care. Thank you.
You've been listening to The Natural Therapy Show with Dr. Tim Brown, architect and creator of Ocean Park Natural Therapies. If you feel that you are a few steps farther down the health ladder than you should be, the naturopathic doctors at Ocean Park Natural Therapies want you to know that you can be helped. For more information and to book your appointment, call 604-538-3017. That's 604-538-3017. And visit them online at www.oceanparkhealth.com.
On your computer, on your smartphone, on your Wi-Fi radio. We're localwebradio.fm.
This episode is a production of Jam Media. For information on hosting your own web radio show, visit jammedia.com. That's www.jambmedia.com.
The opinions expressed by our guest and host on localwebradio.fm do not necessarily reflect the views of Jam Media or its owners. No expressed or implied opinions of any product or service should be considered an endorsement or recommendation of any kind by Jam Media or its owners.